Morning. It's great to be in church. We're in a new series. We got an interesting video if the guys are ready to show them.
I love it when I see new couples, man. New couples, they just get married and they have it figured out, you know. They have all the answers. They have this whole marriage thing. Oh, it's so easy. They're always bragging about their relationship, you know. You hear them talking, it's so amazing. Our marriage is so amazing. What's so great about it? It's so spiritual. It's like we're joined at the soul. The soul. What do you mean? It's like we finish each other's sentences all the time. We finish each other's sentences. I'm like, big deal. I don't care how long you've been married. You always finish each other's sentences. I've been married for 15 years. I'm like, hey, honey, can you make your own sandwich?
That is weird, because that's just what I was going to do. I was going to see if you want me to make
If you go to Starbucks, learn their drink. Like when you go through the drive-thru, learn what they like to drink at Starbucks. It'll blow her mind. It will, because women are, that's a hard drink. They're very complicated. Men are easy at Starbucks. You know, you ever go through the drive-thru, can I help you? Yeah, give me a minty coffee, no cream. Honey, what do you want? Okay, here's what I want. Listen, this is what I want. I want a tall, skinny, sugar-free, decaf, soy, vanilla latte. Extra hot whipped cream, double sleeve, no cup. Please tell me you got that, please. I'd like to change my order to a large whiskey, just a large cup of whiskey, because I'm going to drive away and off a cliff. I don't want it to hurt so bad. And a blueberry scone. Oh, ladies, don't you moan at that. How dare you moan at that? It's not fair. Sometimes my wife gets mad at me for behaving wrong in her dreams. That ain't fair. I had a horrible dream last night. You want to hear about it? No, I'm going to tell you anyway. A grizzly bear was chasing me through the woods with his teeth. He was going to eat me. And you did nothing. You just sat there and you didn't do a thing. What was I doing? You were playing poker with a rabbit. That's what you were doing. And that's the thing. You would do something like that. You would play poker with a rabbit while I was being eaten by a bear. Luckily, a giant unicorn came and saved me with his laser horn. That's how I got saved, not by you.
Well, that's good. We started off with some humor here. So we're going to talk about relationships this morning and romance. And my original message was supposed to be toward dating. And so I'm going to kind of roll it all into one. I'm going to start with dating and then once you get married and then into marriage. And so I thought it would be nice just to start off with a little humor on how it is in life and marriage. And this morning I just kind of want to talk real simple, real plain, and very transparent, and probably share a lot about my life and my dating and my marriage, and I guess it went okay because I'm still alive. I didn't die through the first service. My wife was very gracious. Of course, I have a great wife to live with, and so we're just going to just share a few practical things that I think can be useful to people. And so my first point, I'm just going to read a scripture first, and it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. My first point is finding the love of your life. Well, I want to talk to basically the segment of people here first that are singles. If you're a young person, you're single, you're not married, or maybe you've been divorced and you're single and you're looking for a mate, this portion is going to be for you. If you're already married, you can take some, probably some tips from this stuff too to apply in your life, but, you know, it's not really for you guys to go out and start dating again. You're committed. Because, you know, like, when you're choosing a mate, that should be a long-term investment. That should be a lifelong thing. That should be a thing that you grow old and in that person you should die with. That's my thought process there. You know, when I was getting ready to date, you know, I was looking for somebody that I was just going to go through this once with and marry and raise a family and grow old and die together. And that was kind of the example put before me with my grandparents on both sides. Lived long life, like long marriages. My mom and dad, you know, they lived, help me, Deidre, was it 60 years together? 1960 they got married. It's close to that. My grandparents, I think, were 65. But we should be, when we're choosing a mate, there's certain things we should involve in the process. And I would say involve God in your selection. Now, a lot of times we don't involve God in our selection of who we date, who we marry. You know, we meet this girl at a bar or this guy at a bar or at this hockey game, so to speak, or whatever, at a party, and we just say, oh, well, they're good looking, or I'm attracted to them, and you get together. But it's not that. That's more of a flesh decision. In Galatians, it says we live in the Spirit, but we don't walk in the Spirit. You know, we need to begin to involve God in our selection process. You know, if you're a young person here or if you're a single here today, begin to involve God in the process. Share with him that you want a mate. And there's certain things in the mate you should look for. Also, you can use the word. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We have tools to help us to find the right mate. It's important. There's some godly qualities in Colossians. I'm just going to read just a portion of a scripture. And it says, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace. Now, you know, those things, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, you know, I've seen them all in my wife. They're qualities that my wife has. My wife is a very kind person, and she's very humble, and she's a very gentle person. She's patient. This just describes my wife. And, you know, when you're selecting a mate, you know, it's good to go to the Word, find out what qualities should be in godly people. And use that as your gauge. Now, I had selected qualities I wanted in a mate. And I can remember writing down the list and ticking off the things, all the things I wanted. And you know, God knows more about what we need than what we know. A lot of times we look at superficial things. We look at things that we think that are going to flatter us or make us elevate. But God knows the exact qualities you need. And I can remember dating my wife and meeting her. And first of all, I'll say we've been married 28 years. And this will be 29. So it's not like I'm standing up here without some experience walking through this process. It's helped us in our marriage, and I believe we've been very successful in our marriage, the way we look at one another. But I can remember meeting her. We lived in two separate towns, but the distance of the town was like from here to Waterloo. And so my cousin's like, we need to go to the Bridgeview. It was a convenience store. And He's like, we need to go in there. There's two cousins in there. Him and I were cousins. And he's like, there's two cousins in there. We need to go meet these girls. And I'm like, it was a Friday night. I'm like, yeah, it's nothing to do in a small town. Convenience store is the only thing open in town. Let's go. So we go to Heartland and go in there. And immediately, my cousin, he's like, there's the one that I'm going to ask out. I've been telling you about how good looking she is and stuff. And I'm like, and he's like, there's the cousin, you can date her. And I'm like, no way. Like, I want her. You can have the other one. And so, needless to say, I went to a convenience store and I got everything I needed. Everything. They had a shelf that said wives right here. But she was scooping ice cream, and they had like a little ice cream parlor there. And, of course, I tended to go there a lot after that. It's for the ice cream. But and chased her down, pursued her. And I'd like to think she pursued me, but I pursued her. And, you know, qualities, you know, I once I started dating her, there was qualities I seen in her that were just, you know, attracting me. And, you know, you really need to look at qualities in a person when you're choosing a mate. It's important. This is a life decision. This is something that you're going to live with the rest of your life. It's a long-term relationship. You know, I seen a little funny cartoon this past week, and it showed a guy, and he had a pair of handcuffs, and then he had a little ring, and he said, this ring is the world's smallest handcuff. He said, so choose it wisely. There's a lot of truth in that. There's no person I'd rather be handcuffed to than this woman right here. You know, I'd like to be handcuffed to her. Anyhow, choosing, using God, involving God in our decision process. See, God has somebody tailor-made for every individual here. He knows who we are. He knows our name. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows how many hairs you have on your head, if you have a lot of hairs or if you don't have any hairs. He knows everything about you. And he has a tailor-made mate for you. But you see, if we don't involve God in those choices, how do we get our tailor-made mate? I really believe that. There's times that we bypass the love of our life, our tailor-made mate, because we're not in tune spiritually. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're not culturing that. Everything we should be doing should be motivated by the Spirit. We should be God-conscious at all times. So, you know, when I met my wife, you know, I was automatically attracted to her good looks and everything like that, but I was attracted to her spiritually. There was, you know, I'm not saying that we had prayer time or anything like that, but there was something about her spirit. There was something about her spirit that made her different than anybody else I had dated. There was a connection there. It wasn't like there was people were running around speaking in tongues and praying and jumping and hooping and hollering. It wasn't that. But there was a spiritual connection. I could feel it. It was like, man, I'm getting a good presence off this person. You know, I'm feeling a good presence. And you know, like with us, I want to say there was an overwhelming peace that came on me. I had dated other people, and I always felt uncomfortable, but there was an overwhelming peace that just rested on me. And I knew she was the one for me. You know, if you're in a relationship and you're a young person and you've been going with somebody for 4 or 5 years and you don't know, then that's your answer. You need to get rid of them and move on. Because if you don't know after 4 years, if you don't know after 2 years, I'll tell you, if you don't know after 6 months, don't waste your time. Because when you waste your time, then you get hooked. And then you get pulled into something, and then you end up sometimes marrying somebody that's not meant for you. So be God conscious in everything. Be God conscious in everything you do. Like I said, move on. Find what God wants for your life. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We should be just on the same page. You know, you can be opposites. My wife and I are opposite extremes. I'm very outgoing, ADHD, they say. My kids say, you know, you need to take a chill pill. You're too hyper. My wife is calm and cool, you know, only when she gets upset with us for something we did. Then we all just run and hide under the table, you know. But be on the same page. Don't go looking for your mate at a bar. Don't go looking in the wrong places. Try to find good places, you know. Try to, you know, I believe our steps are ordered to God. I believe everybody's here steps are ordered to God. If you're God conscious, he can bring the right person along your path. Just have your spiritual eyes open in order to not let it go by. It used to be an old country song that said, I overlooked an orchid while searching for a rose. Just be careful you don't overlook an orchid while searching for the rose. Does everybody know what that means? The younger guys and gals, an orchid is nicer than a rose. Sometimes we overlook the best thing for something we think's better. Keep your spiritual eyes open. It's important. Keep your spiritual eyes open in your relationships. We need to keep boundaries. A lot of times in marriages today, there's no boundaries. Or in dating. We go with gals or guys, and, you know, it seems like today anything goes. People are living together. They seem to think that's normal. It's not. It's not a godly thing, and there should be boundaries put out there. I think it's wrong to start off a marriage. You know, people will live together, and then they say, well, I'm going to get married. Well, living together just means there's a lack of commitment. You know, you move in with somebody, and you're, to me, if you're living with somebody and you're not willing to, if you're not willing to marry them and you're going to live with them, there's a problem. There's a problem. If you're going to move in with somebody, you should get married first. Commit to it. Don't give yourself to somebody that's not committed to you. And it seems like that's in relationships. People live together, and one person will want to get married and is waiting for the right person to ask them, you know. But don't do that. I think the long-term engagements sometimes can be a downfall to a marriage, because when you start to date somebody, it starts like this, and it keeps going. And there's certain things that go in your marriage, and it should keep going up. You know, you start to date a little bit, then you start to hold hands, and then you start to kiss, and then the rest of it comes after you're married. It's an incline. And when you take too much time to finish that, I think it's destructive. I know in my life, it was very easy. Deidre and I, we were just kids. She was 17. We met in April or May or March. I knew if I got them all in there, I'd get it right. But we met in March, okay, on spring break area, and not at any party or anything like that. But we met in March. She turned, in June, I give her a ring. She turned 18 in August, and we got married the next month in September. And that was, and everybody at the church thought that, oh, she must be pregnant. Because, oh, it was like a quick wedding. It was almost like a shotgun wedding, you know. But it wasn't, you know. We just loved one another. We knew it was right. And we didn't need to wait. And so we made it happen. And you know what? 28 years of bliss. Perfectness. When you marry the perfect wife. You know, and I'm not telling everybody just go out and get married within 6 months. You need to know who you're marrying too. You know, you need to give it some time. But you know, with me, I really knew that my wife was the one for me. I almost knew it from the first time I seen her. And like I said, I had the connection into my spirit. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. And that peace should just overwhelm you. If you're a young person here today and you're going with somebody and you don't know if it's the right one or not, if you don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life, then I would say, you know what? You need to reassess where you're at with this person. Because you should be in peace. It should be a happy time. It should be, there should be no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And center God in the center of that. You know, if we center God, it seems to work out better. I like to say becoming one with your mate's important. Once you marry, I think it's very important that you become one. The Bible says that two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one. I think that's a real strong key when you first get married. It's a key that you should keep in your marriage throughout the whole process. But it's a key to become one flesh, to become one in mind and spirit, to be on the same page. You know, in order to do that, you have to die to yourself. You know, you go into this marriage and a lot of times we bring self into it. You know, I expect this from my husband. He needs to do this, this, and this. I expect this from my wife. She needs to do this, this, and this for me. You know, no, you need to go in with a servant's heart. You need to go in one mind. You need to be union. You need to be not me, 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 but we. You know, you never get nowhere where it's a one-way street. You'll always be at hedge. You'll always be button if you're not unified in your decisions. You know, this is a real interesting thing in my wife and I's marriage. And, you know, there's different times where we feel to give over and above our tithes and our offerings to help people and in different places. And it's just so cool. My wife will come up with the same number that I come up with. I'll say different times, Dee, what do you think? I'm thinking, and she'll say, well, this. And that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, we need to be on the same mindset. That when you become one, when you crucify your flesh, the Bible says, and you become one in the spirit. See, it's more than just love, too. It's becoming one in spirit. When you become one in spirit, that's when you can do exploits for God in your marriage. You're on the same page. You're not fighting. You're not at odds. A lot of times in marriages, people are at odds, butting heads, because they're not one in their spirit. They're not unified. And unity is a great thing. And so my wife and I, we try to be on the same page. We try to talk about things, you know. There's times, yeah, I do go buy stuff without consulting her. But most of the time, I consult my wife. I want her blessings, even though I know she'll say, just go do it. But I think it's important to be on the same page about things. Everything, from your spending to the raising of your children, everything, you should be in one mind on the same page. It's very important. So when God's centered, you're on the same page. I'd like to say another point is when you go into a marriage, leave the baggage at the door. There's so many people in marriages that take baggage from their previous marriage into their new one. Or the way they were raised, or the way they were treated, they bring it into the marriage. And they automatically want to treat their new spouse the way they were treated in the past, or the hurts of the past. Leave the baggage at the door. The person you're with is not the same person you used to be with. Or the person you're with maybe he's not going to treat you the same way as this other person in a relationship treated you. You have to start with a fresh start. You know, God does that with us. You know, he takes our baggage, he throws it in the sea of his forgetfulness. He doesn't keep score. You know, he just forgets all about that, washes us clean, and we start with a new life. And that's how our marriage, when we start into it, should be. We should start fresh, you know, and don't throw in their face. You know, well, my previous boyfriend or my previous girlfriend did this to me. Well, I'm not your previous boyfriend or your girlfriend. You know, this is a new start. We have to have that fresh start. We have to bury the things from the past, not bring the old baggage with us. The Bible says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things behind me. Be mature in your relationship. Don't be childish. Throwing up things from the past is childish. Bringing things into a relationship that is not necessary is childish. Be mature. You know, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is just common sense. But, you know, when we get in a relationship, it seems like we lose our common sense. You know, we feel like we have the right to chew a strip off our spouse, you know what I mean, or to hurt our spouse. It's funny how in so many marriages, it seems like one of the spouse feels they have the right to hurt the other one. You know, and they'll threaten them with leaving and all this stuff. You don't do this, I'm going to leave. Well, you know, that shouldn't be talked about. That threat should never come up. Because the more you say it, the more it comes to reality. And the deeper that hurt gets for the other one, right? That just keeps rooting down and bearing a deep root in a marriage and causes bitterness, right? We don't want bitterness in our relationships. We want love. I mean, it should be all about love. You know, if we really loved one another the way Christ did, our relationship would be perfect. Leave your baggage at the door. I just said for C, treat your mate as you would want to be treated, with respect. The Bible says in Luke, it says, do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. It's not rocket science, you know, but sometimes we make it so complicated, you know, that we need so much counseling for this and that and all this. Treat somebody as you'd want to be treated. Treat somebody as you'd want to be treated. Somebody in your spouse, don't give them a hard time. Don't holler at them. Don't threaten them. Don't always say hurtful things. God doesn't do that to us. If we really have his DNA in us, you know, why would we respond that way? Like I said, it really seems like in our marriage, it seems like we feel we have the right to be able to do that to one another. But that's not pleasing to God. God wants us to love our wife like Christ loved the church. He wants that. He wants it. He wants us to treat others. He wants us to have compassion for our wife or our husband. You know, he wants us to not keep score, you know, of the wrongs. He wants us to have a tender heart toward them. He wants us to be patient with our spouse. But a lot of times we're impatient. These are just all practical things in our life that it seems we overlook. And, you know, these are just things I've tried in my marriage. And, I mean, our marriage may be not 100% perfect, but it's probably close to it. She's probably the 100% perfect, and I'm the 99. Treating your spouse the right way. Treating your spouse. Thirdly, we need to romance our mate. So now we're going to get into after you've been married a while. But, you know, you need to, let's talk about when we were dating. Us guys, we acted a lot different when we were dating than we do after we've been married like 10 years. Right? I bet you every lady here would almost put their hand up and say, yeah, most of the husbands do. So I'm going to talk to the husbands first, talk to ladies second. But, you know, like when I was going with my wife, you know, I couldn't wait to see her. I fixed myself up, you know. I was there early. You know, I tried to buy her stuff every week. She always got flowers. I opened her door. I took her to school every day. Drove her to school every day. I'm 4 years older than her, you know. But I should back up and tell you one thing. When we were talking about qualities, my wife, I had my qualities wrote down. Everything I wanted. But you know, God knows what you need for your life. He knows exactly the qualities you need. We may put down qualities and say, this is what I want. But they're, a lot of times they're superficial. They're for me. They're to make me feel good. But God knows the perfectness for us. He knows the tailor-made ones, you know. So I always thought I was going to marry this older gal with brunette. I married this young girl with blonde hair. And now it's great. I'm older and I got a young wife. I'm blessed. She keeps me young. She'll say every day, you're only as old as you feel. You're not that old, you know. Back to my story of dating. You know, we treated our wives, a lot of times we treat our wives different when before we catch them. Because we're trying to catch them, right? We're trying to hook them. So we're doing things for them. We're helping them. You know, we're saying nice things. Oh, you look gorgeous. You're beautiful. You know, we go out of our ways. But after we get married, you know, then we kind of let that stuff slide because we got the ring on our finger and she's got to love me, you know, for good, bad. The good, the bad, the ugly, she's got to put up with us, right? That becomes our mentality. But we can't be like that, man. We have to continue to romance our wife. We have to continue to do things. What's the big day coming up here in 2 days? One person knows it. For all the men that are here, it's Valentine's Day. It's the day of your sweetheart. Do you remember that? When you dated, you got your sweetheart a heart Valentine card? Guys, you need to do some things in 2 days. You need to get your act together if you haven't got it together. I'll tell you what I did, and some of you have already heard this, but from the time my kids were, or I was married and our kids come along and they were young, every Valentine's Day, I cooked my wife, my daughter, a meal. I'd set them up to the table, candlelight, chocolate, flowers, nice card. I cooked them a meal and I served them. And then my boys, when they were dating, I made them do the same thing. If they had a girl that would actually, you know, go out with them, you know, they could bring them too, right? And they'd have to help out. But I did that from the time they were young, you know, right up through Hannah to this day. And I think it's important for men in their household to portray that type of image, to teach their kids, their boys, their daughters, how they should be treated. And you know, as a man, this should take place all year round. Amen, ladies? Right, all year round, shouldn't it? You know, it should be something that our wives, we love our wife like Christ loves the church. We've heard that over and over and over. We've heard that. It's almost exhausting. It's almost mind-numbing now. But we should. The one you love, you should be doing things daily. You should be doing things weekly for them. And likewise to the wives. Wives, you should be making your husbands feel like they're the king. Good husbands are hard to find. I'm telling you, everybody's got a husband here. They're lucky. You got a good thing. You need to hang on to it and look after your man. But women, you need to treat your husbands right. Build them up. Don't tear them down. My wife constantly supports me in things that I do. You know? we've always supported each other financially too. You'll see some differences in that, you know. There's been times in my life I've made more money than her, and there's times in our life she's made more money than me. But we're a team. All that money goes into one pot. The tightest one in the bunch, which is her, pays the bills. Right? I like to tell people she allows me to live in her house and drive her car. It's a privilege. You know, take that approach. Treat one another like you would want them to be treated. Make that love fresh. Court your wife. You've never heard that word, court. The older ones have, younger ones means to date. Date your wife throughout your marriage. Keep it fresh. My wife and I can't wait to get home at night to see her. Some husbands don't wanna. You know, some guys enjoy being truck drivers, so they're away for long periods at a time. But you see, she's my best friend. She's the one I want to be with. She's the one I want to get home, I want to talk to, I want to do things for. Love your wife. Tell your wife you love her. Tell your husband you love him. Don't go through life not telling them. When's the last time you told your wife or your husband you loved them? There's probably lots of people here that have not said that in a long time. I told my wife this morning, and I give her 2 or 3 kisses this morning. You know? It keeps that bridge, right? Women have a hard time staying mad at you when you tell them how nice they look. And I love you, you know. And you hug them, you know, while they're doing the dishes. You hug them. Or if you're in an equal house, while you're doing, the men's doing the dishes, the woman hugs them. Or if the dishwasher's going, you just meet in the middle and hug each other. We're just talking about relationships. It should be like that in our house. We should want to go home to our wives. We should have a great time. Our kids, my next one is give your wife or your spouse, your husband, affection. You know, in our house, it's very common to see a kiss or a hug, or more so on mine, because I'm the, you know, more the huggy one, and she's the resisting one a little bit. But she loves it, eh? She smiles every time I do. So she loves it. And sometimes I'll just make her, I'll say, you got to kiss me 7 times, you know. But in our relationship, you know, it's cool because our kids see that. Our kids see that. Our kids' famous line is, would you guys get a room? That's a normal thing in our house. They're like, would you get a room? Hannah's like, oh, please, not in front of me. Just, can you stop that right now? I may be just giving my wife a hug. Stop that. But it's good for them to see that. You know, it's healthy for them to see their mother and their father love them than fighting. Right? What message are we sending, right? It's good for that. You know, and when you do that, if you're doing that all day, I don't mean like we go to work, but if you start out in the morning by giving your wife a hug or a kiss or a little slap while she's doing the dishes or something, I'm not trying to be too descriptive, but I'm going to tell you it pays great dividends later on. But keep your love fresh, right? It should be. It shouldn't be cold and frigid. Show your affection. You know, my wife, I know certain things about her that always wins me big points. Women love chocolate. Love chocolate. I'll tell you the chocolate story in a minute. But you need to do stuff. Just like I said, romantic things. This week on Monday was my day off, so, you know, I cooked a nice roast chicken, had everything, some candles going, and her and Hannah sat down, and we had like grape juice and wine glasses to pretend we were drinking wine, but we weren't, you know, non-alcoholic night. And, you know, it was a nice little romantic time, you know, tried to make the girls feel important. You know, I made her, my wife loves chocolate-covered strawberries, and I made them. It took a little bit extra time. But she loved him, you know. We actually had to fight over him later on that night. But we made up. But I'm going to tell you one other thing about it, is my wife loves, if she's having a bad day, all they have to do is pull out a bag of M&Ms and give it to her. She's fine. She's like, I'm okay now. You should know what things your spouse likes. You should know what things makes your spouse day easier. Whether it's listening to them, whether it's when they come home and they have a hard day, you cook them a meal, or if it's doing the dishes, or if it's doing a little vacuuming, or whatever they want, you should be doing that in your marriage to keep it strong. That those ways to ladies is showing them you care, and they like that. I'm just going to end with this. One last story. And in romance. And it's called Keep Your Spouse's Appetite Full. And I taught a class one time back home, and it was in one of, I believe, Dr. Dobson's books. I'm thinking it was. There was a little testimonial in there from a long married couple. They had been married 65 years. And in that it said, they asked her, they said, how did you keep your husband home? And what she meant was from running around, having affairs. And the older lady said, I always kept his appetite full. And I'll end at that. Always keep your mate's appetite full. If you hear what I'm saying. It's a part of romance. It's a part of your marriage. Let's all stand. I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm just going to pray over you folks. Next week, I really feel God's got a message. He gave it to me. I know it's from Him, but it's on guarding your marriage and your family. And so we're going to dabble into that next week, and I really believe it's going to help some people. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for our spouses. Lord, above all things, we thank you for our spouses. Lord, we thank you that we find a good thing in our wives. Lord, and I pray that our love for our wives and our husbands will deepen and that we'll go deeper, Lord, that we'll push out beyond our comfort zone in our marriages, Lord, in our dating practices. Lord, that we will make you the center of our marriage, of our dating, that we will consult you on every move we make in our marriage and in our life. Lord, I just pray that if there's any marriages here that are struggling today, Lord, I pray that you'll stir their hearts and you'll heal some hurts. And you'll cause them to center you as the center of their marriage, Lord. And that they'll treat one another as they'd want to be treated, Lord. We just speak these things over our congregation today. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's needs a mate and that's single, Lord, we just pray that their steps will be ordered of you and that you will reveal to them the tailor-made mate for their life. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, men, don't forget your wives 2 days from now. Chocolates and flowers. Open a can of soup.